This morning's scripture reading is from Acts 5, verses 38 and 39. I'll be reading from the updated New American Standard. That's Acts 5, verses 38 and 39. So in present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of man, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God.
Good morning. I'd also like to welcome everybody here this morning and thank all those who are visiting with us. I'd invite you back as well this evening at 6 p.m. I'd also invite you to follow along in your Bible this morning. I always say this every time I'm up here, but don't take my word for it. Please follow along in your Bible and make sure that what I'm saying is the truth. You'd be my friend to correct me as well if there's any mistakes that I make, so thank you. I'd like to start this morning's lesson by kind of setting the scene with what we're going to talk about. And bear with me here. We got a somewhat lengthy reading there in Acts 5, and we're going to start in verse 17. Acts chapter 5 and in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prisons shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So they came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. When they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend on bringing this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. So we read here in this section of Scripture our setting. We're in Jerusalem, and we read that the apostles had done many wonderful things, many signs and wonders amongst the people that were known, and believers were increasing in multitudes at this time. This made the high priest very angry, and therefore he imprisoned the apostles. We read about their escape from prison as they were let out by an angel of the Lord, and eventually their trial before the high priest, the Sanhedrin, and the elders. What was their response in verse 29? "We ought to obey God rather than men." And the council was very angry with this. And it says there in verse 33 that they plotted to kill them. They were going to take their lives. But at once, one in the council stood up, and that was Gamaliel. We're going to talk a little bit about Gamaliel and what he said here this morning. In our text, we know that he's a member of the council here, and we know that he was a Pharisee, and that he was a teacher of the law, which means he knew the old law very well. In fact, so well that he taught other people. and he was well respected. It says there that he was well respected amongst the people there. We also know a little bit about Gamaliel over in, we can read a little bit about Gamaliel over in Acts chapter 22. If you would turn with me over there. We learn a little bit about Gamaliel when Paul is speaking to the Jerusalem mob over there in verse 1. Paul says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And then he said, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there, to Jerusalem to be punished." So we read here that Gamaliel was Paul's teacher. Paul learned the old law, learned the law from Gamaliel, and sat at his feet. We also know a little bit about Pharisees and what type of people some of them were from other sections of Scripture. We know that many of the Pharisees were considered to be hypocrites, or they were referred to once as whitewashed walls. In other words, their outside looked very, very good, but inside was all kinds of filthiness. Many of the Pharisees were considered to be very self-righteous people. They were lovers of the best places in the synagogues and the best seat. In other words, they enjoyed the status of their position, and they relished in the authority that they had, and the name of Jesus threatened that authority and status that they had. So they were very jealous of the name of Jesus and what that would mean and what that threatened to them. Now, I'm not going to say here this morning that Gamaliel was right. He was not a follower of Christ. He was not a believer. But some of what he had to say here and some of his advice that he gave to the council, we can learn some things from. So I'll continue on here in our text here in Acts chapter 5, and we'll read verse 35 and continue with what Gamaliel says. He said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men." Gamaliel says to take heed to yourselves, or be careful, or pay special attention to, or to beware. That's what take heed means, to give special attention to. And there's things that we need to give special attention to in this life and as Christians that we need to pay attention to and be careful about. And I'm going to talk about a few of those things here. One thing is teaching and spreading the gospel. That's something as Christians that we're responsible for and we're commanded to do. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll read a little bit about this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 12 and 13, Paul writes to Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." So Paul tells Timothy to give special attention to doctrine there and teaching of the word. In the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we're all commanded, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we are told that we are to teach all nations and all men, and teach them to observe all of God's commands. We're also taught that we should always be ready and willing to teach. It shouldn't be something that just surprises us or comes about. We always need to be ready to be able to teach and preach God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, it says there to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. So when it's popular, when it's not popular. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears aside from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Another thing that we need to give special attention to is to beware of covetousness. Over in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." So We read here, and we know here, that seeking after money or possessions or physical things of this world are and putting them above spiritual things, that is condemned. That's something that we're not supposed to do, that we need to give special attention to that, because that's something that's very easy to fall into, something that we can be tempted and fall into that sin. And we can lose sight of that unless we take heed and pay special attention. Another thing we need to take heed of is how we treat each other. Over in Luke chapter 13, a couple pages over, chapter 17 rather, a couple of pages over, in verse 3, Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." We need to make sure that if a brother sins against us, or if they do something against us, that we rebuke them in love. We need to tell them that what they've done is wrong, or make them aware of it. But we also need to forgive them if they're willing to repent. We know that we'll gain our brother if we do this. Matthew 18, verse 15 tells us that if we take that sin to our brother and they make them aware of it and they repent, we can forgive them. We've gained our brother back. We need to care for each other's souls and take heed to that. We also need to stand firm in the faith. It is possible for us to fall. We can't just become a Christian and then we're a Christian forever just because. It is possible for us to fall, and there's many places that we read of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, probably the first verse that comes to my mind and probably many of yours, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 states, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest you fall." And over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard lest we drift away." So we read there, it's possible for us to drift away. And one page over, or one chapter over, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, "Beware," there's that word again, "beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So we see there in those scriptures that we need to take heed, to give the earnest heed, and to beware, or we can fall away. We also need to beware and take heed of the coming of Jesus. In Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37, we read about this. And Jesus said, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." So we need to be watchful. We need to be aware. We need to take heed and make sure we're living our lives in such a way so that if Jesus comes back and finds us, we're found in favor. Because we don't know when that is going to happen. So back to our text in Acts chapter 5. We'll read along and continue with what Gamaliel said there in chapter 5 and verse 36. Gamaliel continues, "For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed." We read here that false teachers, there's examples of false teachers, and false teachers are going to come, both evil men, so people who know what they're doing, and those who are sincere about what they believe, but are wrong. And we need to be aware of those false teachers. We have to be ready. The elders were warned of this, about false teachers, in Acts chapter 20. We turn a little further over in Acts to chapter 20. In verse 28 and 30, it says, elders are commanded to therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. So we know that there's going to be savage wolves that come in from the outside, trying to draw people after themselves, and also from among us. We have to be aware of that, that there may be people, even brethren, that seek to draw people after themselves. And that is the goal. That's their ultimate goal, is to draw people after themselves and to draw away disciples. And we have to be on guard for that. Many will come to turn willing people away. So turning back over to 2 Timothy, we just read this a little bit ago, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, talks about, it says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The point of this being is, we can have false teachers that come in, but unless we're not aware, or if we have the desire that we like what they say because it suits us, we can be turned away, and we need to be careful that what we want and who we follow isn't because it's suiting us and our desires. We have to make sure that what we're doing is following God's word. Some are going to be tricked and or tempted to follow because they like what they hear. However, we know that it's not of God, and it will be destroyed. So if we turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, we read of this. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So how can we be ready? How can we be ready? How can we make sure we don't fall into this trap? We know in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 that we must study. We must know the word. Knowing the word will help us be prepared more than anything. We need to test the spirits to see if what we hear, what we're hearing is of God. We can read about this over in 1 John in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it states, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us, but by this we know the error of truth and the spirit of error." Back to our text in Acts chapter 5. We'll continue on and read the last couple of verses of what Gamaliel has to say. Verse 38, "And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." You know, we cannot successfully resist God. We can resist God, but we can't do it successfully. And God expects our obedience. And if we choose to go another direction, we will also come to nothing. God's going to be victorious. God is going to win. And it's our decision of whether we're going to follow and obey God or not and win as well. That said, God absolutely wants all of us. He wants all of mankind to obey. Turn with me over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll start here in verse 10. Jesus says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." So here Jesus establishes his deity. Drop down to verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Or in some versions it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Either way, it's assumed and inferred. And then over a chapter, in chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." You know, if you think about fighting and resistance, you think of the meaning of those two words, that's the direct opposite of love and friendship, which was in those two verses that we just read. God's not going to demand our love and at the same time ignore us if we're ignored, if we're resistant to him. He's not going to accept that. Paul also warns of God's righteous judgment in Romans chapter 2. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this, about the judgment of God. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 5. It says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." So we're warned about resistance to God. He will bring upon us indignation. And indignation is a big word, basically meaning God's anger and God's disgust. God will be disgusted with us. God will bring upon us wrath if we are found resistant to him, or his vengeful anger. Tribulation, which is severe suffering, and also anguish, which is severe pain and agony. None of those things sound particularly good, obviously. But by obeying God and putting our trust in him, we can be victorious. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. In chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So we read here about these strongholds and these high things that exalt themselves above God. And we find out that these things are going to come to nothing. Resistance against God is futile. As Gamaliel stated there in Acts chapter 5 and verse 39, if you're found to fight against God, you're not going to be successful. At the end of our text, we'll conclude the lesson here by reading verses 40 through 42, after Gamaliel has spoken to the council. "And they," the council, "agreed with him," Gamaliel, "and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So despite being beaten, and despite being threatened to not preach the word of Jesus, we read that the apostles kept a joyful attitude. It said there that they counted it joy that they should suffer shame to speak in the name of Jesus. And they continued to obey God rather than men. We read about that earlier in the chapter. They continued to obey God rather than men by preaching daily in the temple and in every house. They continued spreading God's word and preaching the name of Jesus. Have you been obedient to the gospel? Every time we gather here, we offer the Lord's invitation, and it's really quite simple. For those in the audience who maybe never have named the name of Jesus or been obedient to the gospel, it's very easy to become a Christian. Of course, you must hear the word, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and believe, Mark 16, verse 16, and being moved, if you repent or are willing to repent of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and confess the name of Jesus in front of men, Romans 10:10, and be baptized. Acts 8:38, you can become a child of God if you believe that Jesus is his son and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess his name and be baptized. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe you are a Christian, but you're straying. But you can turn back if you've fallen away. We have an example in Acts chapter 8 of Simon, the former sorcerer, who had, upon becoming a Christian, fell back into sin, and Peter told him to repent and to pray to God for forgiveness. And you can do that as well. Whatever your need may be, we invite you to come to the front pews and stand as we sing.